Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started here. You can all claim a seat. Thank you all for coming. This has been a big project that I've been involved in for well over a year and a half in planning. But before we get really involved in it, by the way, my name is Todd McMahon. I'm the president of the Mission Bay Hope Homeowners Association. Tom Brandhorst is also here. He's our treasurer. And in a moment, I'm going to do a little bit of a PowerPoint presentation about the community, and then hand it over to Bob Broom, who has some recollections of the neighborhood as it was first started, and then a former council member, Paul Dickinson, will also share some of his remembrances of Mission Viejo as well. And certainly, at that point, if anybody else would like to share some other thoughts or stories, we'd be welcome. So, but before we begin, there is an announcement that we'd like to make. We've lost one of our most cherished members of our community who did a lot of work. And you see some of the Vision Possible signs here and the Garden Club. Mary Ann Lewis passed away not too long ago, and Dayla is going to say a few words about that. Dayla Griffin.
Hi, I'm Dayla Griffin, and Mary Ann was my very near neighbor and very, very close friend. Now, for 20 years, from 73, the time she was in, to until she got ill a couple of years ago, Mary Ann put in hours and hours and hours of work in the Viejo. And a lot of times, no one knew about it because she and her husband would go out, they'd see trees needed to be pruned in the spring, the plum trees out here. So they'd spend the day doing all that. They'd see the trash needed to be picked up or trees pruned along Chambers. And they just went out and did that. But they also worked through Mission Possible, and Mary Ann was one of the first grant writers to clean up Chambers. And Mary Ann then helped me. She gave me the grant writing project the next year, and so she helped me too. But there was a collaborative effort with the Lewis's, the Gibbons, the Alts, Dana Smith, and lots and lots of people. You see, this is Mary Ann over here. Mary Ann and Ed Pagel took that picture when Mary Ann and Ed became the volunteers of the week for the Sentinel had that 2 years ago. So what we're doing, Dana, Peg, and I are still in touch. We're getting together money to have a bench, the Memorial Bench Program from the Parks Division of Aurora will be installing a bench. The bench costs $1,900, so that's installation, and that's the purchase of the bench. It comes from the city. It will have a plaque dedicated to Mary Ann that will be at one of the flower gardens, which hasn't looked really great recently, but it's a flower garden Mary Ann and I used to work on a few years over there near the playground at Mission Viejo Park. And so I have flyers. If anyone would like to contribute to this, the address for where you can send the check, or you can send it straight to Wells Fargo Wagon. The routing number and the account number are listed on here. And so I'll just raise a hand, or I'll put them in the back so you can pick one of these up if you'd like.
Great. We hope to see that in the park soon. So please, if you can contribute, that'd be fantastic. Okay, I'm going to start this presentation. Can all of you see that, or do you think we need to dim the lights? Is it okay? All right. Well, the Mission Viejo Homeowners Association dedicated the year 2007 as the 35th anniversary of our community. And I'd like to thank a lot of the people that really helped with this, including the Homeowners Association. In addition to them, the Aurora History Museum, the City of Mission Viejo, California, the Heritage Committee, also Renee Beach, City of Mission Viejo, Drew Maurer, a number of people from the Aurora History Museum, including Gordon Davis, the Executive Director, and Matt Shadansky, one of the curators there. If you have a chance and you leave and exit this room here, you'll see two proclamations, one of which was signed by the City of Mission Viejo, California, in honor of today's event, and another one that was signed in honor of our event by the City Council of Aurora. So please take a look at that. They're just outside the door here. The library has kindly said that they could keep them up here at least till the end of the year. So just want to mention that as well. As I said earlier this year, the Oral History Museum really helped us out a lot. And they actually put together an entire exhibit about our community. And it was pretty well attended. I think the attendance figures over the 2 or 3 month run was something on the order of about 3,000 people. So that was pretty good. In addition to having an exhibit at the Aurora History Museum, we also had a traveling exhibit from the city of Mission Viejo, California, which is outside here of the community room. So we really tried to really celebrate Mission Viejo this year. If you didn't get a chance to see the exhibit, it is on our website. It's a kind of PowerPoint presentation, so please take a look at it at your leisure. And by the way, this exhibit that the city of Aurora put together will be traveling to the city of Mission Viejo, California very shortly so that they can learn something about us. So they know, most of them don't know much about them. Of course, maybe some of the community members here don't know much about Mission Viejo, California. So we're getting a good connection between our communities. Well, won't go into all of the incredible detail of all of Mission Viejo, California, but just to let you know that Mission Viejo is named after or in honor of San Juan Capistrano in Orange County, California. And the land where Mission Viejo, California is was an old Spanish land grant. And the area where the very first friars set up San Juan Mission Capistrano, those ruins became known colloquially as Mission Viejo. Okay. And that's where the name came from. It was later incorporated as part of the 52,000 acre Rancho Mission Viejo. And so that's where the name actually derives from. In 1907, Rancho Mission Viejo was acquired by Richard O'Neill, who was an Irish cattleman. And in 1963, after they did a study of the potential growth of Los Angeles area and where housing was most needed, they decided to sell off 10,000 acres of the 52,000 for Mission Viejo, California, for the city of Mission Viejo, California. And soon they put out and decided to sell, and the Mission Viejo Company was started by Donald Wren, Philip Riley, and James Tepfer. There are, of course, streets in California known as Alicia and Marguerite Parkways, just as they are here in Colorado. And they are named after the Alicia. The 1965 master plan was created or developed for Mission Viejo, California. And when they first built Mission Viejo, California, they sent representatives to Seville, Spain to study the architecture. And they brought back some of those ideas in their development, including the incorporation of Barcelona brick, adobe brick entrance walls, which we see throughout our community. Spanish street names, community, unique community signs, green belt, parks, recreation centers, and of course the distinctive Mission Bell streetlights, which were meant to remind the residents of Mission San Juan Capistrano and the El Camino Real, the Spanish road in California. When they built Mission Viejo, California, sales were astronomical in Orange County. For Mission Viejo, California. Long lines of people came to see the show homes, and sales just skyrocketed. It was truly a phenomenon. No one had ever master planned a community like that and sold it so well. Soon, the Mission Viejo Company was bought by the Philip Morris Company, and they had expanded their operations outside of Mission Viejo, California to Arizona and Colorado. And this is Bill Wiley doing a presentation to the Aurora City Council members about our neighborhood. And I'm going to read to you some recollections that were given to me by Mr. Jim Tepfer, and that he coordinated with me and shared these thoughts. He said, back in the late 60s, our company began expanding and became involved in the Lakes Project in Phoenix. We also began a new project in Bakersfield, California. Our marketing people suggested we consider Colorado as a likely place to start another project. Through friends of Phil Riley, we heard there was a parcel of land in the Aurora area owned by Jeff Quartz, the Quartz Diamond entrepreneur, a Donald Dinkin, and other prominent Denver people. Using Denver attorneys, namely Tim Grimshaw and associate Jim Nicholson, now Secretary for Veterans Affairs for President Bush, we concluded negotiations and acquired the property consisting of a square mile. At a dinner that Phil and I attended, where we made the deal, Dr. Dinkin became so excited he passed out and we had to rush him to the hospital. After completing the deal, Phil instructed me to plan the development. With an assistant, Phil Charleston, and our chief engineer, Frank Fessy, we began planning the project. I'm not sure of the timing, but after several months, we finished the plan and submitted it to the Aurora City Council and Planning Commission. Prior to submitting the plan for consideration and approval, we had and prepared a very beautiful slide presentation that told the Mission Viejo company story of our accomplishments in California. With members of the Council and Planning Commission present in the Mayor's office, we set our projectors and slide carousel. When we went to insert the carousel into the projector, it flew out of Fesh's hand and slide and went all over the floor. Phil was always a person who wanted everything to be just right. Whenever we made any presentation via to our Mission Viejo board, the Phil Morris board, or any group for that matter. This was not a good moment. Recognizing the embarrassment of the situation, the mayor said words to the effect, Phil, why not just tell us about your company? He went on to say, Phil, I think this will be the shortest presentation ever made to the city of a project of this size and magnitude. And it was. The theme. The first thing we did was select a basic theme for the project. Since we had such success in California with the Spanish-style theme, we decided to carry out our California theme in Aurora. We wanted the project to be self-contained and decided to construct an adobe block wall around the entire perimeter of the square mile. At each main entrance, we built a special entry using the same adobe wall-style materials as in California. One thing we did in California was work with the Southern California Edison Company to build a special street light fixture denoting a mission bell and pleasing Spanish-style hangers. With the aid of a San Diego architect, we designed the bells. To obtain approval and use of the bells in California, we had to assure the Edison Company that we would guarantee the purchase of about $75,000 of mission bells. Things were cheap then, maybe $200 each. We wanted an exclusive on the use of the bells for Mission Viejo, California project. We agreed and we were in business. The bells were fabricated in, I believe, a GE South Carolina plant. I worked with a Long Beach, California company to fabricate the arms. We had an exclusive for several years, but soon the city of San Juan Capistrano and Orange County began installing them as a Mexican-style or Spanish-style accoutrement for their city and the new Dana Point Marina, respectively. And those were thoughts given to us by Jim Tepfer earlier this year. Jim goes on. The start of the development. When we began production here in Aurora, we had our California people design and merchandise the homes and community with the management of actual construction coordinated by individual offices in California. We hired local construction managers. Time proved, however, that we needed to hire or bring California people over to Colorado on a permanent basis. Managing by phone, we discovered, was not the thing to do. We were entering a new era for the company with projects in Arizona, the Lakes, Bakersfield, California, etc. After discussions with our company president, Phil Riley, Phil approved of bringing Jeff Loader, one of our chief engineers, in our California operations over to head the project. Then,
Tony Natalie entered the picture, and then Pat Farrell. Pat is dead. I don't know where Tony Natalie or Jeff Loader are. When I came over from California to head up the Colorado Highlands Ranch Project in January 1978 as president of the Colorado Division, Pat was our lead man for the Aurora Project manager. Things went well under his guidance with continuance, input, and assistance from our gurus from California, namely Harvey Stern. Bob Bunyan and Marshall McCain, additional California people, were brought over, especially in the construction area. Recreation expertise was provided by Mary Putman and Dan Bimmel, our California Recreation Center expert. By 1975, we were operating in a very positive mode. And you've seen this picture. This is the raising of the very first Mission Bell in our neighborhood. And to the left is Jeff Loader, Mission Viejo Company. Spence Garrett, City of Aurora Council member in the middle, and Bob Meek from the Mission Viejo Company. Yes, it is.
Where is that located?
Well, it's right across, where the shopping center is. You can see over there, the Mission Viejo Recreation Center, or site up there.
And so that's what it looks like, all the trees are shown there.
Yep. The actual opening of Mission Viejo happened on September 24th, 1975, and we had Governor Love for the grand opening event. So you can see her. In addition, there was mariachi bands and Cherry Creek High School band played for the opening. And you can see it here, it's kind of a little dark, but that was the entranceway to the show homes, the first show homes in Mission Viejo, on the far right there. The marketing and advertising department for Mission Viejo really did an excellent job, and they just did a whole bunch of ads every week in the newspapers promoting our neighborhood. And you can see some of those in the area, as well as a lot of the little slogans that they used throughout. So I just thought I'd show you a few of those. Mission Viejo Company was really pretty unique in that they really believed in their product. They thought that they were changing the way housing was meant to be. And really, they were the first in the Colorado area and really throughout the nation to do a completely master plan community. And we're really pretty fortunate and very unique. It's a very unique situation that we now live in, or we are residents of. These are on our website, but I thought I'd show them here too. These are some of the first signs. I'm going to just kind of turn out these lights here just so you can see a little better. This is the first entranceway, and yes, indeed, that sign is in orange, but that is at Chambers in Hampton. And I thought, boy, that's interesting. Here's an entranceway in Mission Viejo, California, and there we're also using the orange signage there, too. So, about November of 1973, I believe, the first residents actually moved in. Not November, I'm sorry, November 1972. Mr. and Mrs. Hardy Hugh Russ were the first residents in Mission Viejo, Colorado. And they were, of course, given to them a bottle of champagne and roses. So we also have the groundbreaking of the Mission Viejo School. On the left and on the right, the raising of more Mission Viejo bells in the neighborhood.
Do you know here they built the school? About 72
A little bit later, I don't know exactly. 74 maybe. There was also a lot of great events. One of the first was a homeowner's barbecue. And I'm going to read one more thing to you guys. And this comes from Arthur Cook,
who provided us with all of the newspapers from the Mission Viejo Reporter. And I asked him to give us some of his recollections too. He regrets that he couldn't be here. He was going to try to come into here, but instead he sent us these thoughts. It was a bright, sunny, shiny morning, a perfect day for a special activity, the day Thursday, May 24th, 1973. My wife, Pat, and I arrived in Aurora the day before from Mission Viejo, California. The reason for our visit to Colorado was to host a special homeowners barbecue for the new residents of Mission Viejo, Aurora. The barbecue would provide the opportunity for new homeowners to meet the staff of Mission Viejo Company and to chat with them about the new community. It would also provide the company an occasion to meet the new homeowners as well as discuss the new recreation center that was to open in 2 months. As manager of community services for Mission Viejo Company in California, I was called upon to make the necessary arrangements for an informal Mexican steak barbecue that would begin at 5 p.m. Now, one must realize that the only time I had been to Colorado was during the winter months for skiing enjoyment. Since the skies were blue and some wispy clouds in the distance, I knew it was going to be a great spring day for the planned barbecue. By early afternoon, the barbecue grills were prepped and the fuel was standing alongside, ready to be applied. The tables and chairs had been set up and looked festive with the red and white checkered tablecloths and candles. About 3:30 p.m., I was introduced to the Colorado phenomena, rain clouds, gathering over the Rockies and moving steadily into the foothills. Oh, well, they will probably blow over, and it will be a beautiful evening. Whoops! Within 15 minutes, it was raining. No, rather pouring. But shortly thereafter, it was clearing and the sun was shining as brightly as before. Because we tried to gather as much as we could from the tables before the rain, we were wet to the bone, but we didn't let that dampen our enthusiasm for that special evening. As soon as the rain passed over, we were busily whipping everything dry and changing the checkerboard tablecloths. Yes, we almost completed the transition from wet to dry just as the first residents arrived. In fact, I recall some of them even helping with the chores in the final setup. It was soon thereafter that the steaks barbecued by the company personnel were served, along with refried beans, salad, beer, hot dogs, and soft drinks for the children. Because of the success of the get-together, over 85% of the homeowners living at that time in Mission Viejo, Aurora, the residents formed the Mission Viejo Activities Committee and continued to plan community events throughout the years. Yes, I will always remember the afternoon cloud gatherings over the Rockies. Congratulations to you residents and to your community leaders as you celebrate Mission Viejo Aurora's 35th anniversary. Regards, Arthur Cook, September 21st, 2007. Let me give you some examples of events and activities that occurred in Mission Viejo. The very first 4th of July celebration, of course, is still continuing in a different form, but it's still continuing nonetheless. There is also an article about the rec center opening. They had an event called the Balloon to the Moon Festival where the children had balloons with postcards attached to them, and the first balloon got special savings bonds. And I think one of them went all the way to Kansas. So that child got a little bit of change. And of course, when Mission Viejo first started, there was a lot of things going on. There was a women's club that started and did a lot of activities early on in the community. And there you can also see we also had tennis tournaments, we had golf tournaments, we had swim meets, and many other things. And of course, there's also an article about the green belts and how they add to the aesthetic appeal of the neighborhood. These are some of the members of the Mission Viejo Activities Committee, and they would regularly hold balls or dancing balls at Heather Ridge. Also, before they built the center part of the neighborhood, they had a Mission Viejo garden, a community garden there, so people could do their gardening in the central location. One of the other activities that happened was Denver Broncos had a football clinic that drew
hundreds of people to our community, and we've become some of the old Bronco names like Lyle Alzado, Fran Lynch, and others, as well as mention there of the tennis tournament there. And actually, some of these clubs that actually started in Mission Viejo are still around today. The Mission Viejo Swim Club, which was formed in our community, is still around, although they're now known as the Mission Aurora Colorado Swimming Club, as well as the Mission Viejo Spartans, who are, of course, now the Spartan Youth Club. Again, here's some more more photos of signage in our community. This is a winter scene, Chambers in Hampton. And you can see where Grocery Warehouse used to be, was at that time Albertsons. Here's some more springtime shot. There's looking up Chambers, and there's no traffic, as you can see. There's no light, you know, suffering. Here's building the Mission Viejo Shopping Center, and in the background you can see the Recreation Center, now Heartwood. The banks, which have now just recently changed names, the Colorado National Bank of Trust, I think it is. Wintertime in Mission Viejo Shopping Center. Some of the stores are still there, like that liquor store. Here's the Recreation Center in Heartwood. This was the activities board for the neighborhood. Not only would, and this was in front of the Recreation Center, not only would they display swim times and swim events, but also whenever they would have a movie night or a club meeting or that kind of thing. So it was our first community sign, if you will. The company did a lot of events all the time, and this was another one that was the world's largest banana split contest. And there you can see some of the kids eating the banana split. They also had t-shirts that said, "I picked out world's largest banana split contest." This was the Seville townhomes, show homes. And this is the sign stating that this will be the library, future library. This is an article showing the groundbreaking for the library, as you can see. Which was actually passed by special bond election here for the residents to build this library. Of course, first known as South Branch Library, now Mission Viejo Library. And there's the inside. A little different, but the color's a little different, but not too much different. And this is the elementary school. And I tried to lighten it up a little bit because it does have the orange signage in there too. They were really into that. That's no longer there, of course. And I want to kind of end it with that. Michigan is a great community, and of course, it's the future generations that are going to dictate how the community is in the future. You know, we hope that there'll be more activities and more things going on. And I'd just like to thank all of you coming here tonight and this evening and celebrating Mission Viejo. And, you know, here's to another 35 or 25 or 50 more years. So, thank you. Nick, yes.
Because we moved here in July, and our kids started in September.
Wow. Okay. Well, next I'd like to introduce Bob Broom, who is our city council member for this part of Aurora. Bob has some recollections to share.
Okay, actually, thanks a lot. Well, those pictures brought back a lot of memories since, you know, we kind of lived here since the start. What I've been going on, my recollections about Mission Viejo and living here and so forth, I probably better recognize a few people here in the crowd. Ruth Fountain and Paul Dickinson, they were both members of the Aurora City Council when I moved to Aurora. And I was recruited by the city of Aurora to be a finance director, and that's how I happened to move here from Florida. Bob Semple was the city manager at that time, and I'd worked for Mr. Semple in Illinois before I moved to Florida, and then he recruited me to come out here. And so the other person I better recognize is my wife, Ruthie. She, of course, actually picked out the house. You know how that works. And Brad Pierce is the Aurora City Councilman that I currently serve with. So I should also recognize him. Tom Nicholas is here, and he's our Director of Libraries and Recreation for the city. Well, as I mentioned, we moved here to Colorado in September of 72. When we first moved here, there were no homes for sale, absolutely none. I mean, the housing market was so hot, it was ridiculous. We ran, you know, ads in the paper to buy a house, never got a single nibble. We finally contacted Roy Lean in the city manager's office, and she hooked us up with Dottie J, and she found us a house to rent in Hoffman Heights. It was Scranton and 11th Street, which real nice homes over there. There were brick homes at that time. And so our kids first went to the Vaughn School over there. Well, you know, then we, of course, wanted to buy another home, so we were scouting around and looking all over the place. We looked at Eastridge, which was close to our church, Mount Olive Lutheran Church. We looked at Village East. We looked at, what was the other subdivision over here? Pheasant Run. And Dam West. And then Ruth Fountain said, boy, you should go out and take a look at this new subdivision that's going in. And so on two different weekends, we tried to find this place. We'd go out Chambers Road, and Chambers would dead end at the spillway. It didn't go any further. And so finally somebody said, well, you got to go out Parker Road to Hamden and then come in that way in order to find this place. So, you know, these roads that you saw that stop sign weren't even paved when we were out here first looking, you know, for a home. Probably the thing that sold this place for us was we had a swimming pool in our backyard in Florida. Kids found out that the recreation center was going to have an indoor pool, and so that kind of sealed the deal. And then I guess it was like in December of 72 that we actually picked out our lot and signed a contract to build the home, which then we moved into at the end of July of 1973. I think, as Ruthie mentioned, the school opened shortly after that in September. The school was kind of a novel school at that time. It had open classrooms. It didn't have walls between the classes. And it also had year-round school, which was something totally new. Our kids were in D-track, as I recall. And, you know, so that meant you had different times of the year that you'd take vacations and so forth. One of the things I might talk a little bit about, and it sounds funny when you talk to kids these days, is what it costs to buy a house out here now. Our particular home, and this is how it was broken down, the base cost of the house was $28,750. The lot was $6,500. Air conditioning was $1,225. Fireplace was $1,050, and then some upgrades. The total cost was $38,975. Payments were $183 a month. Now the recreation center over here, you know, we joined that in April of 1973. We were the 10th member of the recreation center. It cost $75 to join, and the dues were $12 a month. We have maintained that membership. Yeah. We're the oldest member over there now, obviously. You can tell that by looking at it. And you can tell it doesn't really do that much.
I'm never losing money on you.
The school was kind of the center of the neighborhood, obviously, for years and years. Dr. Platt was the first principal over there and was really a super guy. I mean, he had a staff that he handpicked over there, and, you know, they really went all out. Some of the people that I remember over there, Nancy Spence, who's a state senator now, was a room mother with Ruthie over there. And then Ruthie, she kind of set out of nursing for a few years when the kids were young, so she was a school nurse. And so when you got sick, you had to go see her. Across from the school, and you saw a picture of that earlier, there was community gardens. And I remember we planted gardens over there about 4 years in a row, and every year, just as the tomatoes started to come on, we'd get a frost. And we just gave up on tomatoes after that. It just didn't, you know, didn't make any sense to keep planting them over and over again. Next to that community garden was a temporary park. There was a real nice ball field over there with a backstop, and that's where we had fireworks every 4th of July and had a lot of festivals and things that went on over there. We've really enjoyed living out here. Probably Ruth Fountain is going to talk, and maybe Paul a little bit, about how Mission VL came to Aurora. As I recall, after they came here, they also got options on a couple other sections of ground. And so their plan was to build a much bigger area here in Colorado, you know, in Aurora than they initially did. The housing market slowed down when we had the Arab oil embargo, and so things kind of came to a halt. And then they switched plans and went over to Highlands Ranch in Douglas County, and they started to build over there. But, you know, I can remember meeting Philip Riley and Tony Natale and some of those other people that were shown on those pictures. That it was a fine company, and, you know, they really did a nice job here in Aurora. Green belts were something brand new to Colorado at the time. A planned community was, you know, something that was really unique at the time that they came here. So this was really a unique place. And it's been a special place to live for all these years. I brought some other stuff, but I think I'm going to wrap up and not talk all night. And so I'm going to turn it back over to Tom. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob, for sharing those great thoughts and those great memories. Ruth is here, and that's great. Didn't know if you were going to make it or not. So, Ruth Fountain, she was actually... Let me go back here for a second.
Probably one of those.
Yes, I am.
Do you know who you are?
Yes, sure.
There.
Good. Ruth has been here. Ruth has been here. Ruth Fountain, former councilwoman for the city of Aurora, is going to share her thoughts.
Thank you, and I apologize for being late. Tonight is the regular meeting of the Aurora Historical Society, and I serve as president. This is my sixth year of a one-year term. And I'm to the point where I think they just cannot get along without me. So I felt that I was compelled to go open the meeting and introduce the program and then scoot out to come be here tonight. When Todd asked me if I could think of some things to say, I thought, oh gosh, I hope my reputation of never being at a loss for words still will hold. But I got to thinking about some of the things that occur when city council is contemplating a big investment in the community. And a lot of things go into building a community that most people don't see. And we were exposed to lots of innovative ideas in the city. And as Bob had mentioned, the green belt, for one thing, and the planning community, I think Todd mentioned. Well, the staff was kind of appalled at all the suggestions that were coming from California. And we did send some of our senior staff, the people that water the utilities, storm drainage, for instance, because Mission Viejo, California, undergrounded all their utilities. And that was a concept that had not reached Colorado. And so they needed to go, the staff needed to go to California and see just exactly how these things were accomplished. And they came back, and you know what happened. We underground utilities in Mission Viejo, Colorado. And that was really a first, and it was an eye-opener, I think, to the home building industry in Colorado, because it was something that was really new, and it was going to spread from that time on. I don't know what else you could do about utilities that undergrounding doesn't do. One thing I would mention, because I know Paul is going to say some things, I called Don Goh, who was principal of Cherry Creek High School and had been deputy superintendent or something like that. And, back in the 70s, when we were first elected, we started meetings with the two school districts and the city to talk about mutual problems and things like that. And at that particular time, when Aurora was annexing, we didn't require dedication of public space or public sites or anything like that. And Mission Viejo, California had lobbied the Cherry Creek School District quite well to say that they wanted a school built here in this area. And it was a tremendous marketing tool for Mission Viejo, California, when they accomplished an agreement with the Cherry Creek School District to build the school right here in Mission Viejo. And so with the city building, its fire department, and then Mission Viejo building the recreation house or recreation club, and the promise of the school being built here was really a marketing device that they capitalized on. And I think it carried over to many other home builders. It taught them some things that they really need to do. And of course, now when the city annexes, why, there's always, or almost always, a dedication of land for public use. And so the schools have benefited a lot from that particular conversation many years ago when we decided that was a thing to begin to do. Paul, do you want to come up?
You're doing good.
Well, I told you two or three things that I thought I would talk about. Now I can only think of two. So you have to fill in. I would say that there were 9 members of our city council, the mayor and 8. There were 4 wards and there were 4 at large. And when we ran for election, we ran for a 2-year at large term because we wanted to stagger the terms of the at large candidates and from the wards. And that did pass. So we both ran for 2 years, and then I ran for 4 years after that. And we all have staggered terms now, thanks to that election.
Yes.
And as far as Paul and I know, we're the survivors of that city council. There may be one other member, Don Brennan, that lives in the Northwest, perhaps, but I just haven't been able to find anybody that knows about him. So yeah. I think we're it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I have to tell you, seeing all these pictures and everything going back from memories, I'll have to tell you a couple stories. I don't run off.
Oh. You want me to hold you up?
Yeah. Ruth, when we were sitting on the council, Ruth sat between 2 councilmen that were senior citizens, and one was a former police chief, and the other was
Hilbert
Meyer. So it was a good thing she sat there, because she could keep him on the right page when we were running over the agenda. And then also I saw Governor Love up here.
Yeah.
And, Ruth introduced me to him one time, first time I'd ever met him. And I think, if I remember right, we were at Broadmoor for some meeting or other. You know, we always had meetings then for any excuse, you know. And he was in the bar when we first saw him there. But he came out and Ruth introduced me to the governor, and I thought that was quite an honor. But
he's a good governor. He came out here for the groundbreaking and made a very nice presentation.
Yeah, he did. At that time, it's kind of interesting as we look back. The city was only a city then of about 75,000. And the word kind of went around that if we ever got to be a city of 150,000, that would be the optimum size. Our fire department, our police department, and all of them would be just perfectly balanced and everything. But, of course, it didn't turn out that way.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
They don't know what the no-growth policy is.
No. we kind of had one at that time, and we had certain boundaries that we weren't going to exceed, and we didn't there for a few years, but that changed. What else were we going to say?
Gee, I don't know.
Look at my notes.
Did you make some notes?
My cheek willows. You gave me all
the
things.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's anything very enlightening here. Anyway, it was interesting. There's one sidelight. It's an interesting story. We used to have our council meetings down in the old City Hall building on 16th and Elmira. And then about that time, the city acquired this 5-story building at 16th or 14th and
Emporia.
Emporia.
Mm-hmm.
Called the Emporia Building. And one night, it was a call to our attention. Oh, when the city took over this Emporia Building, there was a bar in the basement called Loser's Lounge. And it was a loser, all right. And they got behind in their rent one time for several months, and the city clerk told us that, and we were in session. We were about ready to take action to pull the lease because they were in violation. And you know, there was a couple guys in the back got up and left. We didn't think much about it because we didn't know who they were. And pretty soon they came back about 30 minutes later with a paper sack full of money to pay the back rent. And the city clerk said, "Hey, I can't take that. This is not business hours." So the city attorney agreed with them that they brought it in the first thing the next morning. We would continue the lease.
This is when things were simple. Mike Trevisek wouldn't believe it.
It wasn't a bar that you'd look forward to going into, believe me. It was a loser, all right. What else is there that's interesting?
Well, I don't think of anything. Everything went very smoothly as far as Mission Viejo was concerned. noticed that some people chuckled about the stop sign. Let me tell you that in Mission Viejo, California, there is one stop sign. They control, or one traffic light. They control everything by 2-, 3-, and 4-way stop signs. They don't have traffic lights. And of course, the mission bells were something. That's another thing we were going
to
talk about.
That was, well, they came to town and kind of bedazzled us with all their mission bells and their plans and everything. And I have to admit, their house plans were much different than any we'd seen around here prior to that. And sure enough, they built it and had just mobs of people came and looked at grand opening. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the city never had a riot until about the mid-60s. This is a funny, good story.
Okay.
And so that was up about 16th and 17th in Del Mar. Somebody had a block party, and I know that's after that, I got out of control and had to call the Denver Police Department to help us clear that up. But that was in the 70s, 60s. But in the 70s, we had another little incident one time over in Del Mar Park. And we were up at a study session in the Emporia building, and the phone rang, and here the police department called and said, well, we're going to call a raid on the park over here, and we're going to clear it out. Oh, boy, we all got excited, and we went down and forsake that meeting and got in the cars, and away we went. And the car I happened to get into was the city attorney was driving, and Spencer Garrett, the ex-police chief, was sitting next to him. Two of us councilmen are in the back seat. And we got down there, and the police had gotten only lined up right close together and just marched through there, and everybody that was involved there had to clear out or else, or they get arrested. Well, of course, the ringleader, he was the first one to leave. And so, the funny part of it was, old Spencer Garrett, he was kind of a bit crazy type of police chief. And he says, to Lee that was driving the car, he said, Lee, drive right in there. Guns a-blazing. And I believe he'd had his pearl-handled pistols lying in. He would have split off a few rounds.
In my neck.
You get anything else?
I think we shot the wad card. Thank you very much.
I'm, of course, not an original resident of Mission Viejo, but I've been here for about 13 years. And I grew up on the west side of Denver. And my family, I do remember, I'm old enough to remember, coming out here to when Mission Viejo, the show homes were open, and long lines of people that came out to this community. It was quite the buzz to come out here. He really was. You would have thought it was, because I remember standing in long lines looking at the show homes. And we really, our family really was really interested in. One thing is that my father worked way on the other side of town, so it just wouldn't work out for us. But I always remember this neighborhood, and when we got married, I remember Mission Viejo, and you know, we've lived here now for 13 years and plan to be here for a lot more again. So, the final thing I'm going to do, and you guys can kind of just mingle, but if you'd like to see their Mission Viejo, the city of Mission Viejo, California, sent me their video of the history of Mission Viejo, California. I've shown this at some HOA meetings too, but it kind of shows you what Mission Viejo, California looks like if you haven't seen it. So I'll have that playing right now, and you can also certainly take a look at some of the other things that are here. Please grab some more cake and soda, and also just thank you all for coming. Thank you very much.
Great job. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Todd.